This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Pastor Rick continues in a series called 40 Days of Love. In these lessons, he shows us how to achieve the goals of obedience to Christ and living a life of love on a day-to-day basis. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Loving Like Jesus Loves Me.
What God does for you, He expects you to do for other people. God says, I accept you unconditionally. I don't approve of everything you do, but I accept you unconditionally and I love you. And God says, I want you to do that with everybody in your life. Look at this next verse. Romans 15:7. Read it with me. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. He said, you are to do for other people what I have done for you. Now, how do you do that? Well, one of the ways you can show acceptance to other people is to listen to them. And another way you can show it is to look at them. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, that the highest form of love is focused attention. When I look you in the face, eye to eye, and I'm saying, you matter to me. You are valuable to me. It's like a little child saying, look at me in the face, Daddy. When you give your attention, love looks and love listens. When somebody comes in and drops up off your desk and you don't pay anything, don't pay any attention to it, or when somebody serves you something at a fast food or something, or the waitress comes and delivers it, and you don't look up in the eye and say thank you, you are saying you don't value them. You're saying, I don't value you. You're not important to me. No, what you're saying, when you look them in the eye and you listen, then you're paying attention. You are accepting them. Notice this next verse. The Bible says in Romans 15:2, we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and the fears of others. Now, everybody's got doubts and everybody's got fears. I do, you do. I don't know if you notice this, but I've noticed that my fears are perfectly rational and reasonable, and yours are totally stupid. When you're afraid of someone, go, well, how could you be afraid of that? Now, my fears, they make a whole lot of sense, but yours are stupid. That means I don't accept you. Husband, when your wife is afraid of something, you shouldn't go, well, that's dumb. That means you don't accept her. Or when your kids are afraid of something and you don't value that and you don't treat them with value, oh, you shouldn't be afraid of that. It means you don't accept them. Acceptance says, I listen to the fears and the doubts of others. I've got doubts. You've got doubts. Somebody has doubts, say, well, I doubt God exists. I have doubts about Jesus. I have doubts about the Bible. Fine, this is the church you ought to be in. This is a place for people with doubts. Because we treat you here with respect and with love, because everybody's got doubts. I got a lot of questions. When I get to heaven, I'm going to go, God, why did you do that? If I was God, I wouldn't have done that. Aren't you glad I'm not God? And what you need to do is just say, okay, fine, we all got doubts. Well, I want to put up a sign to Saddleback Church that says, no perfect people need apply. Please go to another church because, you know, everybody has fears and doubts. And acceptance means we accept each other's fears and we accept each other's doubts. Now, during 40 days of love, we're going to work on this stuff together. I told you, we're going to teach you the habits of the hearts and the skills for genuine loving. So what I want you to do is pull out this little flap and tear it off. You're not going to turn this in, but I want you to pull it out and tear it off. And here's our little homework for week number two. Practicing love. And if you'll notice on one side of the flap, down at the bottom, it says practicing love, homework for week two. And the first sentence says, this week I will show acceptance to. And I want you to write in the name of somebody specific. Somebody who really irritates you, don't look at them, or is hard to love, don't elbow them, In fact, don't write down the name of anybody on your row, just in case they happen to see it, okay? Don't write down a family member. We want to work. Yeah, you can work on that on somebody in your family too, but that doesn't count. I want you to choose somebody that you have a hard time accepting. You know that person at work who just irritates you? They're heavenly sandpaper. You know, nobody likes them. Everybody's irritated by them. People talk about them behind their back. They make fun of them behind their back. Nobody wants to go to lunch with them. They're so cantankerous and irritable. You know who I'm talking about. These are EGR people, extra grace required. Okay? And everybody knows who they are in the office. In fact, if you don't know instantly who I'm talking about right now, I'm sorry, it's you. Okay? Okay? So you need to love yourself. But if you know who that person is, write that person's name down. The most unlovely person you know. The most unlovely people are unloved people. They need doses of love. And this week when we work on love, I want you to show acceptance to somebody who really irritates you or is hard to love. And when you start thinking about, Lord, I don't want to love that person, you start thinking about how much God loves you. Loving like Jesus means I got to accept other people the way Jesus accepts me. Number two, loving like Jesus means I must value other people. Value others the way Jesus values me. Now, how valuable are you? I'm not talking about your valuables. How much are you worth? Well, maybe not as much after this week's stock market. I'm not talking about your net worth. I'm talking about your self-worth. How much are you worth? Let me tell you how worthwhile you are. You are infinitely valuable to God. First, God created you. Second, Jesus died for you. Third, he puts his spirit within you. And fourth, he wants you to be with him forever and eternity. That's how valuable you are to God. You are infinitely valuable to God. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12. Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? In other words, they're not very valuable. Yet, he says, not one of them has escaped the notice of God. He said, God even notices little birdies. God even notices cockroaches. God notices everything because everything he made, he values. And then he says this, even the hairs on your head, including the one that fell out in the sink this morning, have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth far more than many sparrows. He said, if God thinks sparrows are valuable, how much more valuable are you because he sent his son to die for you? I love this verse in the Message paraphrase. It says this up here on the screen. God pays even greater attention to you down to the last detail. Did you know God pays attention to every detail in your life? You know, I got a little wart here. God noticed. Down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. Now, what makes something valuable? Well, there are two things that make something valuable. The first is who made it. Value depends on who made it. What is more valuable? A Fabergé Easter egg or my Easter eggs? The ones that I color with my grandkids. Nothing. There's no comparison. What's more value, a Picasso or a drawing by Doug Fields? That's, you know, I don't even have to tell you. You just laughed at that. You know automatically. Sometimes something that is created by somebody because it's who created it makes it valuable. Now, I don't normally collect barf bags, but I have a barf bag in my collection, an airline barf bag, because it's signed by John Wooden, the most winning coach of UCLA basketball. And one day, Rick Muchow was sitting on a plane next to John Wooden, and he said, my pastor's Rick Warren, and John goes, oh, no, I like that guy. Let me sign a barf bag for him. So I have a barf bag. Now, it's not because it's valuable, it's because who made it, who created it, made it valuable. And a well-known creator can increase the value of a common thing. So who created you? God did. God created you. Well, what does that mean? It means you're valuable. Look at this verse up here on the screen. Everything God created is good. Everything God created is good. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you're good. Yeah, okay, okay, okay. Now say to them, you're really good. You're really, really good. We just had a dozen wedding proposals just then. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. God doesn't create junk. God created you. You're not junk. You are good. You're really good because God created you. In fact, look at this verse up here on the screen. It's on your outline too. For we are God's workmanship. That word in Greek, workmanship, literally means masterpiece. It's poem. I'm a poem of God. I'm a piece of art. You are God's masterpiece. That's what the Bible says about you. I didn't say that. I don't think you're a masterpiece. But God does. We are God's masterpiece, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, before you were born, God planned out what he wanted you to do with your life. And he said, you're my masterpiece, and you're exactly what God wants you to be. So value depends on who made you. God made you. Second, value depends on what someone will pay. How much is your house worth? Not as much as you think it is. It's worth whatever anybody will pay for it. I have a baseball card collection. How much are those cards worth? Not what I think they're worth. They're worth what anybody's willing to pay for it. It's whatever will, and somebody's will. How much is a piece of art worth? It's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. I heard about a recently oil sheik in the Middle East. His daughter was kidnapped, and they took out an ad in the paper that said, "We will pay any price. She's the king's daughter." You are a child of the king. You were created by God. And Christ gave his life for you. In fact, look at what the next verse says. 1 Peter says, he paid, that's God, paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. How much are you worth? Look at the cross. Jesus said, I'm willing to die for you. You are so worthwhile, God says, I will pay the ultimate price. I'm willing to give my son for you. That's how valuable you are. You want to know how much you matter to God? You look at the cross. And Jesus, who had been whipped and beaten and tortured and scourged and nailed to the cross, and with arms outstretched, he's saying, I love you this much. This is how much you matter to me. This much, this much, this much is how much you matter to me. I love you this much. And the cross proves your value. Now, let me just get real pointed here. The people who told you growing up that you didn't matter, that you were worthless, that you'd never amount to anything, that you weren't worth squat, were liars. They lied to you. They may have even been your parents, but they lied to you. And they may have said it in anger, they may have said it in hurt, but the fact is, it was a lie. You are valuable because God made you, and you are valuable because Jesus paid for you. He died for all your sins, and God says, you are worthy enough, you are valuable enough for me to send my son to die for you. I'm willing to exchange my son's life for yours. Look at the next verse. Here's how much Jesus loves you. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? He says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Did you know that when you get to heaven, the only scars you're going to see in heaven will be the scars on Jesus, where he was nailed to the cross? Because for eternity, people are going to be able to see, this is how much I love you. See the nail prints in my hand? See the scars where they nailed me to the cross? I don't want you to ever forget. This is how much I love you. I have engraved you. I have tattooed you on the palms of my hands. I couldn't forget you. A mom might forget her baby, but there's no way I'm ever going to forget you. Every time I look at my hands, I think, that's how much I love you. You are not just worthy. You're not just acceptable. You are valuable.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, if you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Jesus said, "There's nothing more important than loving God and loving others." That's why Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love study kit that comes with a 6-session DVD and workbook. In these sessions, Rick shows you how to allow love to become your dominant life value simply by focusing on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness. We'll send you the 40 Days of Love study kit to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Your prayers and your gifts are taking God's message of hope across our nation and around our world. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks so much for listening today. I want you to know what a personal blessing it is to me to be able to teach you each day. But I also want you to know, as a pastor, that I am concerned that you find a local church home. Listening to this broadcast is not enough to grow. You need to be in a local church family where you can do the 58 one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, share with one another, greet with one another, and on and on and on. That's the mutual ministry of the body to itself. You can't do that just by listening. You've got to be a part of a family.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.